Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shit!
My fudge is too fat. What?
Well, it's it's on.
Oh, I like your vocal warm up.
Yeah, nee nee nine. Yeah, that should be good now. All warmed up,
beautiful.
Ready for the podcast?
Are you? Oh. Are you ready for the podcast? Have you ever been for a podcast?
I'll be honest with you, my good friend, I am not ready for this podcast because I haven't even looked at the questions, what I will be asking you.
And even as you wrote them, you didn't look at them?
No. Do you know what? I don't mind reading and I don't mind writing. I refuse to do both.
That's fair enough. Men can't multitask, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you daub them? Did you daub them in excrement on the wall like last time?
No, because the wall is now solid excrement.
Solid poo.
Yeah, so I'm on to semen. There we go. That's what we wanted.
Precious. We wanted. Michael's precious pen.
Look. Well, do you know what? It is precious because they could be my babies, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be. So, you know what? People really love newborn babies. Why don't the hypocrites fucking put their money where their mouth is and go, a cook-a-jip-a-jip, a spunk. Is it a boy or a girl? We don't know yet. It's spunk.
We don't know. It's covered in spunk. So I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
That's our policy at this hospital. So,
well, I'm afraid that's how we do things at St. Spunk's.
St. Siemens on the world. Yeah. That's horrible. Stop now with that imagery.
If you don't like it, go to a real hospital.
I'm going private. You don't want to go private.
Oh, no.
No.
It's even sexier.
It's a mess.
Such a sexy private hospital.
Stop it at once now. Good Lord.
Right, it's very nice to hear your voice. Are you okay?
I'm all right. How are you, petty love? Are you all right? I've seen you in a while, actually.
Really has been a long time.
A month, which is actually a while for us normally, isn't it?
I'd say months a long time. I would I would
I
would love to see you again.
I would not like to see you again.
Love to. Wait, well, we should meet up this week.
I think we are.
By the way, I'm adding this into the podcast because I'm not editing. So,
No. And nor should you.
So our sort of business is now the podcast.
Yeah.
I would like to meet up with you this week.
Which is today then, isn't it? Because it's the end of the week, so.
Oh, that's true. So I will meet up with you now?
Yeah. Well, we saw each other briefly on camera, didn't we?
That's true. And we were terrified. That's a mean job.
And you immediately went, oh, I haven't got microphones. So you, I haven't got
no, headphones.
Headphones.
So I went to get them. Yeah.
And then Coke.
Forgot the headphones again. It's been a very confusing morning, Paul.
Well, yeah. It's so late as well. It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Very confusing morning.
Good Lord.
I've been up though since six, I think.
Since Wednesday. Yeah, I've been up since seven. You were walking dogs, weren't you, and doing like proper adult things?
Oh, I was doing very adult things.
An adult walking of the dog.
Such as destroying a small business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Burning a field.
I was going to say, when you destroyed a small business, was that just like putting a petrol bomb through like, you know, a local Aldi?
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready for the results of the new Northern Ireland Protocol. Getting in there early.
I know, yeah.
Already setting fire to places.
And the new IRA, they're back, aren't they? They're new and they're fresh.
Yeah. And you know what? I do a lot of voice work, so I'm hoping to, you know, maybe do a lot of the IRA voices now.
Oh, you'd be really good as well. I mean, are the new IRA on TikTok yet? They must be.
Oh, they should be. Oh, mate, their videos are hilarious.
So cray-cray.
So funny. When the IRA, when the new IRA drop a new video, I just crack up.
They drop a new video. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible video that they're dropping, but, you know.
It's been quite a horrible podcast so far, hasn't it?
It's been vile, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Really disgusting.
Absolutely foul, and I expect nothing less.
We should start. Why don't we start?
Yeah, sure. Go,
why,
go, go.
Why are we delaying it? Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hall. It's me, your best friend, Michael Legg. And, oh, my God, everyone, listen. You will never guess who has fallen in to the Leg Hall for a third time. Very much the Bob Mortimer of Leg Hall. It's Paul Litchfield. Everyone applause. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Michael. Why am I here a third time? What's happened?
Well, I was going to do a leg haul this week with my dad, but I'll be honest with you, he's got enough on his fucking plate. So I decided... Yes,
that's really going to compound everything if you then make it the podcast.
Really, yeah.
On top of everything else.
I think when you're ill, which you are.
Which
you
I am, know, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I think you should be left alone from leg haul.
Absolutely.
But you are the exception. Thank to that you. Rule.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you all, as ever. I have 10 questions for you. Those 10 questions, from your answers.
Yeah. First one's the fucking same and the last one's the same. I've done this third time now and the eighth one's been tailor-made for me.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But the information that you will give us, we will put together a psychological profile of you by the end of this podcast. And at the end of this podcast, we will send it to the police.
Can you send it to the FBI as well?
Oh, sure.
Is that all right?
And the brownies.
Oh. So,
yep.
Does that mean I might get arrested by the brownies?
By the brownies, yeah.
Do they have their version of like U-Tree? Do they just come around, knock on the door, and it's two brownie girls? You need to come with us, sir. Oh,
okay. No, they've got their
we
own
need
version.
A hard drive.
They've got their own version of George Floyd. They'll just knee you in the neck.
Do they have a U-tree patch that they have to get? Oh, yeah, you've got your U-tree patch. Right on. It's just a little stitched, little stitched hard drive.
I've got my pedo badge. Well done.
Well done, you got that.
Well done. do you know what? This podcast hasn't improved in any way in the last 7 minutes.
I would say it's seasoned a little.
It started off with spunk.
It did, yeah.
Then it somehow went downhill.
It's got gamier ever since, hasn't it? And we should...
Yes.
Come on, let's try and lift the tone of this.
10 questions. First question's the same.
Yes.
Last question's the same.
Right.
8 questions right in the middle. They're all for you. All Paul, right. Question yeah. number one. Do you, and I've tweaked this question a bit.
I was
because
say,
you have answered it before.
I have, yeah.
Paul,
yes.
Do you still like sherry?
Well,
I'll be honest with you, I can't remember you saying you liked it or not last time.
I said I prefer port, and they're both in the same region of fortified wines. So, yes, I still don't mind it, but I only really have it at Christmas. And I'd rather have port any day of the week.
Okay, I'm going to put repetitive down.
Thank you. Yeah, please do. And the last time I saw you, we were in a pub and we offered to buy you a sherry and you point blank refused.
No, I must keep the character of Michael Legg valid okay. and real at all times.
Right.
So I couldn't do it. But it brings me to a new part of the show. It's wow. Sherry Fact. Yeah, here's this week's Sherry Fact.
Go.
Sherry. Sherry may or may not have been produced as far back as 1100 BC. We don't know. No one knows.
So it may or may not.
May or may not. There's no proof of it whatsoever.
Zero proof.
No. Now, in fact, some people could argue that actually sherry only dates back to 1932. Did you know that?
Get the fuck off your horse.
Well, that's what I said. I said, suck my dick.
Suck my horse. What? 19,000 tons.
Yeah,
it can't be. It's ancient.
Well, scholars maintain, Paul.
Oh, they maintain now.
Yeah. Question number two.
Okay.
Paul Litchfield, have you ever pissed yourself on stage? And now I know the answer. So, have you ever pissed yourself on stage?
Yes, for a whole month. During the Edinburgh Fringe. Yeah, well, actually, come on. It wasn't urine.
No, it was myrin.
It was excrement. No, it was water in a squeezy bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think I've ever urinated.
Would you like to explain how you pissed yourself every day for a month at the Edinburgh Fringe?
Because I was the... who was I? Mm-hmm. You probably know more than me. Who was I? I was the guy who sang that fucking song.
Yeah, that guy.
That's enough, isn't it? That's okay. Enough. The guy who sang All Around Me After Midnight from Donnie Darko, and it became number one at Christmas and everyone was impressed. Anyway,
yeah,
I was him.
Shit Michael Stipe, whoever that
shit
guy
Michael
was.
Stipe, and his album was called something like Scalping Pedophiles with Wolf Tickets or something mental. It's just the weirdest name of an album. Anyway, I played him as a special guest in a show, and the proviso was I would be happy to perform as long as I never saw any chickens, because that's the logic of that sketch.
Yeah, you were terrified of chickens.
Terrified of chickens. And so I started to sing, and would you, Adam and Eve, it? Suddenly lots of pictures of chickens start appearing. And so I bravely carry on singing whilst wetting myself in fear.
Do you know what? How many times did I see that show? Easily 8 times.
Oh, at least 8 times.
And I enjoyed that pissing scene every single time.
Well, thank you.
So I'm going to put down in your psychological profile, mainly piss.
Mainly wet. All right.
You are mainly piss. Question number three, Paul Litchfield.
God, getting through them.
Yeah. Listen, it's Sunday. We have a lot of doing fuck all to do. So that's we need to get to the point.
All right.
Paul Litchfield, what has stopped you joining the army?
Oh, Christ, I just spat coffee everywhere. What has stopped me from joining the army? Well, I would say the Navy. They immediately stopped me.
They're very brave men. They'll get in the way.
They just wanted me as well. They really wanted me, the boys in the Navy. They are like, we fucking need you. And growing up in a naval town, the army is seen as a little bit woohoo. Whereas the Navy.
Yeah. Hard as fucking nails, mate.
It's seen as, oh, woohoo. So, yeah.
Sure.
My cousin went up for being in the army and literally passed every single thing. And they thought, this guy's going to be like the Devon G.I. Joe. Except they found out he was colorblind and went, nah, you can fuck off straight away. And he was so depressed about it because he passed everything.
Oh,
he couldn't see red from green and blue and orange. And they just thought, no.
Really? Is that fucking important when you're out
telling
people?
I think it is when you're flying ships off, flying planes. Also, that's the reason he kept flying ships. So
Right, yeah.
Stupid prick. Well, I mean, no, when you're flying like Harrier jets off ships, I think you've got to know what colour the buttons are.
Okay, see, I didn't think of it that way. Yes, yeah. I suppose that is quite important.
Yeah, and also if he looks at that green radar screen like you see in films, he probably sees it as red and thinks like...
everything's fine.
Everything's a brothel or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, they just thought, no.
Yep.
Have you ever considered...
Do you not know this story?
Well, Is this when you join the territorials and it's all going to get a bit like...
No, not at all. Honestly, this happened to me. I went for my first sort of like, hey, I'm a grown-up holiday when I think I was 18. I'm pretty sure I was 18. And
And you went to the army.
Well, I went to America. And here's the thing. My mum and dad were pretending that they weren't shit scared of their little boy going to America on his own. So they went on holiday to America. Admittedly, America's quite a big place. And I reckon you could shake your parents if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But no, my parents went to the exact same place I was going to. And all they said was, maybe one day we could meet up for lunch. And I went, all right, we'll meet up for lunch one day in a place called Alameda, California.
Holy.
And they went, yeah, we're going to take you somewhere because we think we might be able to get you citizenship to America. And I went, oh, that's great because, you know, I'm Irish. America loves Irish people.
Yes, yeah.
I'll easily be able to get into America. But no, what they did was they took me down to an army recruitment office.
Tried to draft you.
Yeah, no, holy fucking shit.
You got press ganged into being drafted by your parents.
By my mum and dad. Do you honestly just shoot me now? I mean, like, get it all over. Why are you training me to go out and get shot when you could just, I could just avoid the training?
Now, are you the only member of, are you the only sibling that's been nearly forcibly drafted? And if so, what do you think that says?
I once had a job in a police station where part of my job was to put application forms into envelopes and post them off. Right. And one day, I put an application form into an envelope that had my name and address on it. No, I'm not joining the police either. No, not happening.
Jesus Christ.
I know, fucking hell.
Fucking hell. Listen, there is a detective series literally waiting to be greenlit about you.
Sure.
Just this completely ineffective Northern Irish detective in London who just walks his dogs, sees crime, shouts at it, and goes home.
Yeah. He goes around committing crimes.
Yeah.
Then solving them by saying, it was me.
Yeah.
But he's so fucking useless, no one believes him.
No one believes him. He's always in jail, but he shouts so loud that he somehow releases himself.
Let him out.
Yeah, he shouts so much, they go, we're letting you out.
Because you're very badly behaved.
You're very loud, and that's the end of this episode. That sounds great. And we'll just call it Shout.
Shout. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm right. Gonna put down big time producer.
Oh, brilliant.
Big time producer.
So have you ever been in the armed forces? And the answer is big time producer.
By the way, there is
a random dementia conversation there. So yes, what do you think of the Third World War? I'm going to put down Satsumas. Okay,
yeah. Here we go. There is a sub question here.
Wow, a submarine question.
A submarine question. Which army would you have joined?
Which army? Oh, probably the Swiss one because they've got they got all that gubbins, didn't they? Smartness, you look good, Alpine Air, and you get the penknife.
Their wars are spotless, aren't they?
They are. They literally, they actually shoot you with Hoovers. That's amazing. That's
okay. Oh my God! They're throwing Mr. Sheen at us.
Carpet bombed by Silip Bang. I mean, you've got to love the Swiss Army. And of course, the other great thing about the Swiss Army is they've never done a fucking thing, so it's great.
Oh, that's why you want to join them.
Yeah, I'm a white flag waving coward. I don't want to fight. So okay, join the Swiss
lazy
Army.
Lazy coward.
Thank you, lazy coward.
Here we go. Question number something. I think it's only three.
Great.
Here we go. Question number three. Paul. Mm. How many times have you dreamt about Bruce Forsyth?
Oh, dozens. Yeah. Dozens of times. Yeah. Not so dozens much now, time. But definitely.
No. Well, now that he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now he's just in my heart, isn't he? He's not in my head.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I went through at least, you know, several fever dreams about Bruce between 2006 to 2009, where he was featured almost nightly.
Right. Would you like to give us the highlights?
Well, I suppose the best one, which we almost tried to turn into a sketch. I mean, that's the great thing about the sketch show that I did with Jeremy Lim and Dan Mersch, is we would often not bother with coming up with material. What we would do is we go, I had a fucking stupid dream last night. And we go, well, let's do that then. And hope that would be the acceptable form of entertainment for an audience.
But well, Los Cuadras Cunts.
We also did that. That was very dream-based, wasn't it?
Well, it was. Dan had a dream. Yeah, yes, it was a dream. We did a show called Los Cuatro's Concert, and his dream came true.
It did. So, my one that used to infinitely amuse all of you was I used to have a dream where Bruce would. It was like he was beginning the Generation Game, but he couldn't say any words. All he could say was rye or roo, as if that's all language. Yeah. And he just starts off going, rye, 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 like that. And it's a big production. And then suddenly he stops, stock still. And then this tiny, tiny bird like floats, flies down in a perfect straight line onto his chin. And you close up of his eyes, looking down the bridge of his nose at the chin at the bird. And then he just goes and eats it in one and goes, oh. And then the audience go mental and like massive round of applause. And I think that was like what I thought how he opened every show, where he ate a bird and went, oh.
On his chin. Oh.
On his chin. Oh.
Oh.
So, yeah. Can I back that question back? Have you ever had a dream about Mr. Forsyth?
No, I don't think I have. I've had dreams about some celebrities. I once had a dream that I was doing karaoke with Madonna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of would have imagined that you might have already done that anyway in real life.
Yeah, that's why I have met Madonna, of course.
See, yeah, I remember you said, karaoke.
Yeah, I went to karaoke.
I'm thinking more light entertainment dreams. Have you met Madonna's far too huge?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the difference between you and I, my friend.
Like any Wincy Willis wet dreams you want to talk about?
No, I have written a book with Wincy Willis, though.
I know you have. I know.
Yeah, I've written a book with Wincy Willis. That is true, and I will go into no further detail. So, it is completely true what I've just said.
No, I know. I know that for fact, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've only got one listener, haven't we?
Can we just talk about something here, Paul?
Please.
You know this cold that's going around? It can fuck off.
Have you got
it? Fucking hangs on.
Have you got a bit of a chest?
I have. I cough all the fucking time. I'm bored sick of it.
Right.
And you know me, I'm normally the very pinnacle of health itself.
Well, normally you love a cold.
Fucking love it.
You're at your happiest.
So hot.
I don't know if I ever get colds or coughs anymore because I'm a smoker. I just normally every 5 hours go anyway. And I just think it's been folded into what the crap I'm shoving in my body. And I just go, I don't know. Did I have a cold? I don't know.
That was my trouble at the very beginning of COVID because the symptoms just described me anyway.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I was born with COVID.
I remember actually that time in the first lockdown, there was just a picture of you in every Boots window.
Yeah. Don't lick this man.
Don't lick or touch this man.
Right, here we go. Here's another question. Oh, yeah. I'm going to put...
Make sure...
and obsessive.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I've just learned that I don't know how to spell obsessive.
Oh,
that's good.
Obsessive.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I do know how to spell it. So there we go. Good.
All right.
Here we go. Question number something. Paul Litchfield.
Yeah.
Really, this call can just fuck off. And I do apologize, Neil. And to all our listeners, Neil.
Have you rubbed any, have you rubbed any tiger balm on your breasts?
Just tiger balls.
Just tiger balls, right.
Yeah, just rub some tiger balls.
And that's not really helping at all, is it?
No, it cleared up the tiger's cold in seconds.
Thank you. That's all right.
Anything I can do, tiger?
Sorry, I had to equate the tiger's voice to the guy in Tunes. You remember the Tunes advert? So he goes, I want to go to the street of Nottingham, please. And then they give him the Tunes, and then he goes, thank you. So naturally, I just thought that's how the tiger must speak.
And you did it beautifully.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Go Paul on. Litchfield.
Yes.
Where is the furthest you've... Yeah, where is the furthest?
Where is the furthest? Well, I just don't know.
I mean, our souls. Now, where is the furthest you've travelled to be horribly disappointed?
Wow. The furthest I've travelled to be... New York?
Were you disappointed by New York?
I was, yeah. But I was only there for a day.
I was
only there for a day, so I didn't get anything to sort of, you know, like, excite me. I just went, oh, this is awful.
I was there for 3 days, and I'll be honest, it was fine at best.
Right, okay, fine.
Like, I just wasn't, like, I didn't feel a buzz about it. I don't know.
No.
It was a bit like London.
That's the whole thing. I just feel like I'm in London. It's just, all right. Yeah, also, where I was, I was in Newark, so there's nothing there. And I just had like 7 hours like to change from a flight and get on another flight. So I just wandered around sort of semi-locally and it was just shit. And I went,
back to Madonna. Yeah. I stayed in a hotel in New York that Madonna stayed in. It's in all the literature, all the advertising for the hotel. Madonna stayed here. And Madonna did stay there when she was, I assume, on fire at one point.
Right.
Because
when she was a junkie fire.
When she was injecting fire into herself every day. It was horrible. It was really... it was shit, is what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I didn't... I'm not big on New York.
I didn't go into the proper centre. I didn't get into... You know, I didn't go down Pittsburgh Crescent or, you know, any of those great places or... You know.
When were you in New York for one day? 11th of September 2001, you say? That's interesting.
I'm sure you did. Did you ever have, after that happened, someone go, I mean, it's unbelievable because I was actually in the Twin Towers and I'm like, wow, when was that? Like about four years ago? And I go,
yeah.
Right. Okay. So.
Yeah. Do you know what? It was really awful that
must because be terrifying. You know what?
See, just 5 years before that, I was watching the opening credits to Sex and the City.
Right. Yeah. No, of course, fuck.
So it could have been you. Could have been you, mate.
We need a support group. I mean, 6 years ago, before I saw it, I watched the Two Towers. If only I knew then. You know, if only I knew then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, mate. It must have been devastating for you.
And just like on that morning, I was flying a plane into the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
That could have been me in there.
Could have been me. But, you know.
So I'll just put down
terrorist,
anti-American, anti-freedom, terrorist,
anti-Barbara. Put anti-Barbara as well because that's my auntie. She's been ill.
Big shout out to anti-Barbara there.
Yeah,
big
I'll get better out. Soon. Auntie well Barbara. Soon.
Get well soon, anti-Barbara, terrorist.
Anti-Barbara the terrorist. Yeah.
Question number something.
Five.
This might be my favorite question of
the month. Brilliant.
So I'm going to see if this jogs your memory. Paul Litchfield,
yes.
Do you remember the time I said you had a small penis?
Oh, not again. it's like the origin story to the first one I've done. No, I don't, but go on. You probably do in forensic detail.
I do remember it. Fuck me. I never saw you get seriously angry with me before. Because I said some flippant remark. Going,
what a thing to say, though, to one of your friends. Because, I think you've got a tiny willy.
Because you got a tiny cock. And your face just fucking, like your eyes widened and your eyebrows fucking hit the ground. And you were like, oh yeah? Do you want to fucking measure? Do you want to fucking compare? And you were about to get your dick out. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm sorry.
I have no memory of this, and I'm so sorry.
My penis shriveled even more right into my body. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, right. Better not do that again. I'm but, so but sorry that even happened. That must have been very early days when we were just courting.
Yeah, I think we'd barely even kissed.
Well, there you go. I mean, if we've barely kissed and you're already, poo-pooing my manhood, then...
I did do a shit on your manhood.
You did do a poo on my manhood.
Yeah. So I will put fear of small penis.
Yeah, please. Yeah. I've got a very, very, very specific Napoleon complex and it's just junk related. So... Oh, dear.
There you are in your last days, imprisoned on Elba. Won't someone look at my dick? No, we won't.
The dick man of Alcatraz. You must have been to Alcatraz, surely.
I have. I've been to Alcatraz twice. And once for all those murders I did. The other time.
For all the ones you were planning on.
Yeah.
Right.
The other time was I came back because I forgot something.
Right. Yeah.
What happened was me and my friend Paul, we went on. I've got another friend called Paul.
I know you do.
And we went on a tour, and Paul sort of ran ahead of the tour.
Yeah.
And then we went round a corner, where all the prison cells are.
Yeah.
And we were about to see. Al Capone's prison cell or someone like someone important's prison cell.
Yeah.
And that's when we found Paul and he was sitting on the toilet with his trousers down.
Is he having a shit in one of the exhibits?
He was pretending to have a shit in Al Capone's toilet.
I've never met your other friend Paul. I suppose he has a wonderful penis. But he sounds great.
Beautiful.
For doing that, that alone.
He's a very funny man. Very funny.
Did he not like have to step over like a little sort of like rope area, like you can never go in? Did he literally? Was he that daring?
Well, it's hard to do that in a prison. You're not allowed in. It's the very opposite of really what they.
No, but I thought because you wander through it, don't you? But the cells, I'd imagine some you can go in, but the big ones like Al Capone, I'd imagine I would have thought as a museum they're roped off or something.
25 years ago, Alcatraz was definitely not kept up.
Oh, okay. So he just opened the doors and went, do you want to have a look around?
Listen, you could shit anywhere you want here, mate. Everyone else did in the good old days.
Because I think you could stay there now, can't you? Like, have a hotel experience.
Oh, really? Probably. It's probably an Airbnb now, Alcatraz.
Yeah.
It will be. But there was a prisoner there, an ex-prisoner there. And he had written a book about his time in Alcatraz.
Right.
And he was signing copies and he was doing a Q&A. And someone said, how would you advise people on how they should live their life so that they won't end up in a place like Alcatraz? Like, anyway, that's a good question. Stop your kids from watching these violent films with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that stuff. And Fat Paul brought up a really good point. He went, but those films didn't exist when you were in jail.
Quite.
So maybe just don't be a cunt.
I mean, that's the only thing you can say, isn't it? Yeah. What sort of question is that? How can you stop someone from maybe becoming a criminal? Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Good parenting, don't be a cunt. Next.
Please buy my book.
Please buy this book, yeah. Ridiculous.
I'm going to put...
Oh, yeah. Are you going to put habitual criminal? Oh, no, hang on. No, it's you. So just put that Lego
criminal.
Lego stoked, I suppose.
Yeah.
Random shit. You
Lego.
Lego
stoked.
Smooth Lego stoked.
Okay. And of course, Green Ninja.
Oh, yes, green. Ho, ho, ho. Green Ninja.
Ninja. Yeah, there we go. Question number something. Paul Litchfield.
Yes.
Who would play the part of you in a school play?
Fuck it. Glenn Medeiros. Why not? I mean, he's
a little fella.
He's a little fella, and I'm not very tall. And I reckon he could do with, like when John Travolta got big again because of Tarantino. I think it's Medeiros's time.
Oh, I was thinking more like you'd want a child. That's why I was going little fella.
No. I hate kids.
So, well, it is a school play, so it's a bit. It's a bit like.
That's why I want Medeiros in it, because that would be just jarring enough.
Oh, okay. And then a load of kids, like Bugsy.
And then a load of kids, yeah.
So Glenn Medeiros would be like the, what's her name? Jodie Foster. Wasn't Jodie Foster about 40 when she did Bugsy Malone?
I don't think she was, but...
Wasn't she?
I think she was young.
I'm not actually sure I've ever seen Bugsy Malone.
The Jodie Foster scene is really odd because she's got her own song called My Name is Tallulah. And it's basically, I'm a whore and I've slept with loads of men. And you're just like, oh, God, all right. And it's just Jodie Foster, probably 15, doing it. And you're like,
oh that's
uncomfortable. Oh, dear.
Do you know what? I wish I hadn't brought it up.
No, I wish you bloody well hadn't either on a Sunday.
So, big 80s guy, I'm going to put down.
Big 80s guy.
That's in your psychological profile.
We're looking for a big 80s guy. He might also be a smooth Lego stoat. He's got an auntie. She's got Barbara. She's a terrorist.
So, question number three. Yeah. Oh, hey, listen, this is a good part of the quiz because we've got a topical question coming up.
Right. Oh, okay.
Paul Litchfield.
Yes, sir.
Do you think it was right or wrong that all of Roald Dahl's classic children's books I've all recently had the word cunt removed?
Very wrong. Yeah. Because I think his best book is Cunt.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Which they then changed to Matilda, but I prefer Cunt.
Yeah. Yeah, James and the Giant Cunt.
Yeah. Cunt and the Giant Peach. I mean, you know, they're all there. Yeah. Charlie and the Glass Cunt.
The cunts,
of course, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected Cunt. I don't know.
Or Cunt, the Unexpected, whatever.
Apparently, that would be good.
I was seeing that on the news, and apparently this is the second time it's happened. They've altered little bits of the text before in the 70s.
In the 70s, they took a lot of the swastikas out.
They took all the swastikas and the reference to the Boer War out.
Sure.
But I think it's terrible. I don't think you should do it, but you know, I'm not going to get all white and gammon about it. But I think it's mental that you just go, no, we can't have that language anymore. I was like, well, fucking stop most of Shakespeare's shit then.
But that's a separate topic. I mean, you should stop Shakespeare's shit anyway.
You should always stop Shakespeare's shit.
It's
dreary. But you know, I mean, there's a scene like I think this is the first time that spontaneous human combustion was ever mentioned, and that was Charles Dickens, I think, in The Old Curiosity Shop. So you know, we've got to get rid of that section now. That's far too frightening for everyone to be reading about people blowing up.
And I don't know if you've read the Bible, but there's a lot of horrible stuff in that.
It's disgusting. The Bible. It should be Certificate 18. That is filth.
Yeah.
And some of the
someone should ban this smut.
They should ban this smut. It's disgusting. And also, I don't believe that they're all fucking 140. I mean, Noah's 140 and he's building a boat. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Is he fuck? I mean, there better be a fucking stairlift going up into that thing.
See, this is why
he's building a boat. That's the maddo granddad who's got full on dementia. Yeah. And they're building a boat. You let granddad just sit down.
Oh, this is why. This is why. Whoever you know, the author of the Bible was God. Yeah. I imagine. Like he missed a trick because he
James.
Like
Cameron.
I always thought. Money been Hillary Mantel.
Yeah,
and because I think like Doubting Thomas was such a good character, they should have used that character more often. That would have been brilliant. No, you fucking didn't.
Yeah, you should turn up at the end of every parable. You know, it was fuck. So he's literally stood in the middle of Adam and Eve. Oh, for fuck's sake, no. Talking snake, come on.
You fucked her. No, you didn't.
No, you did. I am, but you're not.
You did.
Thanks, Doubting Thomas. Just that all the time. Oh, yeah, you fucking threw a pebble, did you, at a fucking giant? Oh, yeah, did you fuckers like?
We have been thrown out of paradise. That wasn't fucking paradise.
Paradise, my arse. Not when I finished with
it. Shit-o. I like Doubting Thomas.
Good old Doubting Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put down tennis enthusiast.
God! Tennis enthusiast.
Good. Now.
That's the funniest thing I've heard this year. Oh, God.
Big talk about the Bible. Tennis enthusiast.
It's question number 9.
Yes.
Paul Litchfield. Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Let's play. Fuck what? Me.
No, I don't want to play.
Let's play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
Which famous person would you fuck, marry, and kill?
It's just the one.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't got time for 3.
Okay, and I'm hoping we please have to do it in that order, because we can't mess around with the order.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well...
Who would you fuck, marry, and kill?
Fuck them, marry them, and then kill them. Okay.
Sure.
And I presume this is all take... I'm thinking this is all one day.
So we meet, it's one lunchtime.
Yeah, one lunchtime, okay. So we meet, immediately fall in love, make love in the pie and mash shop, mm-hmm. get married quickly.
Can I just say you've made this really lovely? I said nothing about falling in love.
I've made this really lovely.
You really have.
I've made this into Jane Eyre, haven't I?
You've fallen in love. I tell you one thing, you're going to find the last bit really hard to do.
I am, yeah, I know you're right, yeah. Oh, God. I tell you what, can I hire someone to do the killing?
I've got nothing on.
All right, yeah, well, actually, it'd be even better if a friend does it. Oh, thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
And I presume mates rates as well, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go with... I'll go with Tilda Swinton, just because I could just see her. She's not passing by. She's just on a poster I've got. And I just saw her in the French Dispatch, and I thought she's brilliant in that. And I would love to have sexual intimacies with her, and I'd love to marry her. I really don't want to kill her, so I'm just going to leave that to you.
Can I just apologize now for killing your wife? Is that okay?
Thank you. And how are you going to do it? Make it look
I'll put a set of keys in her back pocket and push her over.
Right, clever. I will lace her wine with a gum.
Yeah.
Got her. Oh, well, that's great. So the coroner will just be like, death by misadventure. Oh, they're just looking for a 414, I presume. Okay.
What about death by adventure? Oh, well, okay, take her on a roller coaster. She'd love that.
She'd love that. And she's quite tall, so she'd probably be beheaded.
Oh, that's true.
And, of course, you'll get that picture as well at the end. The head coming off and you sat next to her looking nonplussed.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have 400 copies of that, if you don't mind. Yeah. Oh, no. Tilda, if you're listening, and I know you aren't, please, we mean you no harm.
No, we like Tilda Swinton.
No, we love Tilda Swinton here in this podcast.
That was good. I'm going to put down Cheeky Bin Man. Okay.
Tennis enthusiast. Go. If I keep thinking about it, I'll be laughing all day. Because when something sticks in my craw, that's it. It's there forever. I've told you this, but I probably haven't told you wonderful listeners. I was once walking through an airport with my recently departed beloved, and we were walking through duty-free, and she'd put a little sample of perfume on. And the thing you should know about Martinka was she was 60% deaf in one ear, and I forgot I was on the wrong side of her. And as we were walking towards a gate, I smelt this lovely thing, and I just went, oh, baby, that smells lovely. What's it called? And she just half heard me, and she just turned around, and her answer to my question was furniture. And I just... And then I fell onto the floor in the middle of the airport, literally beating the floor with laughter. And she's going, baby, get up. And I just then laughed about it for the whole flight, laughed about it as we landed, laughed about it as we checked into the hotel, laughed about it for the first 2 days.
Furniture!
And I just became obsessed. And Tennis Enthusiast is about to do the same. So, Tennis Enthusiast.
We come to our final question.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Time for maybe a moment of sobriety.
Thank you.
Paul Litchfield, I would like to ask you this.
Please.
What is leg hole?
It is a, mm-hmm. What is, I mean, Michael, what is life? What is life? I mean, it's awful, but yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
You know, what's it's, all about? It's asking the big questions, Michael. Leko goes to places where no podcast would ever dare to prod.
I do dare to prod, don't I?
Or it's just random bollocks with people you semi-know. It's one of those two things. I don't know what it is.
You know, you can dare to random bollocks as well.
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. Who's stopping you? Dan Dare used to random... that doesn't even work. But, you know, it's just about everything and nothing, isn't it? You're drawing out all the complexities of human life. Wonderful stories, great anecdotes. The wonderful green room that I'm in is beautiful. And you have nothing to do with that, which is why I really like it.
Yes. Well, exactly. It's not like I went around and did a poo in it.
No, exactly, which is your moniker, and I'm glad you didn't.
Oh, you've met my moniker.
I've met your moniker. You are the very moniker of a modern major. I can't be bothered.
Yep.
No, it's just an exploration of the soul is what Leko is.
Oh, thank you.
Or
thank
it's a for, pitiful no, waste of an hour. It's one of those two things.
Yeah, I'm just going to put down your psychological profile. Philip Schofield. There we go. And a big sock.
A big sock.
Here we go. Paul.
Yes.
Paul, thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much for returning to Lake Hall.
I know, I crawl out and I keep falling back, but...
You are, without a question of a doubt, the most charming guest that we have. We being me and
the
Neil.
Thirdest guest you've ever
Hello,
had.
Neil.
Hi,
Paul,
Neil. Yeah, hi.
From today, we have discovered this about you. You are repetitive,
please.
Mainly piss, a big-time producer, lazy coward, weird, obsessive, anti-American, anti-Barbara, terrorist. You have a fear of a small penis, a smooth criminal, a Lego stoat, a green ninja, a big 80s guy, a tennis enthusiast, a cheeky bin man, Philip Schofield, and a big sock. Do you know what?
Tell me what. Do all these things somehow...
somehow when
coalesce
you put
together.
All things-
somehow when you get to the boffins in NASA and they go, these are the fucking results I'm telling you. We've run this 9 times through the computer.
I have discovered DNA. And if you put these things together, they all make up our wonderful guest and beautiful friend, Paul Litchfield, everyone. Everyone applaud. Everyone applaud.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for listening, Neil.
Yeah.
Do you think Neil's still listening?
No. I think he gave up in fourth episode, I think.
Shit, Neil is.
No, prick he is.
Fucking prick. We should have him on Lake Hole.
Yeah, we should, yeah. But, don't tell him.
Oh, don't tell him. Never tell him.
Don't tell him.
But thank you for listening. I'm not talking to Neil. I'm talking to you, Paul. Thank you for listening.
Okay. That's all right. I have listened.
And thank you all for listening to me constantly either cough or clear my throat. I apologize. Hopefully by the next leg haul, I will somehow have got rid of at least, I don't know, a ton of this phlegm that's stuck in my body.
I hope so, because I'm meeting you very soon and I don't want to catch your fucking Black Death lurgy.
People of the world, we started with spunk, we ended with phlegm. That is leg haul. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Goodbye!
Oh, Christ.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.